Hey everyone, it's Tuesday, August 18th, and this is the LA Report. I'm Leo Duran. In today's show, we'll go back to school with our education reporters and talk about what the fall semester looks like during the ongoing coronavirus pandemic. Let's first go to K-12 reporter Kyle Stokes, who has the latest on LA Unified's reopening plans.
Yeah, so today is the first day of a new academic year in LAUSD, and the district's kicking it off with what they call the Smart Start, which is basically 2 days of orientation. And then starting on Thursday, really in earnest, the district's plan is for most students to begin learning from about 9 to 2:15 every day, and then they'll have at least, in most grades, and this varies, but at least about 90 minutes a day of live real-time interaction of their teachers, at least. Now, LAUSD, like districts all across California, are trying to comply with a new state law that mandates live daily engagement with students. And we don't really know how long the district is going to be staying in this mode because public health orders apply here. I was actually on an LAUSD campus today, and though there aren't that many kids, there are a lot of staff members there helping answer phone calls and help talk parents through all of the technical challenges they have as they log on for this first day.
Districts and schools around Southern California have handed out millions of meals since campuses closed in March. But this school year, that could change. Education reporter Carla Javier has been looking into why.
Yeah, it's a complicated process, but big picture, normally schools do provide meals for free to students who qualify for them based on need. And the providers of these meals get reimbursed through U.S. Department of Agriculture programs. Last school year, the USDA granted special waivers that allowed the schools to be more flexible in who they gave these meals to and how they handed them out. And for a lot of places around Southern California, that meant these meals were grab and go and free. This school year, the USDA did extend some of those waivers, but not all of them. So school nutrition folks told me they might have to change up how those meals are distributed. Maybe they'll ask for pre-orders or have students show somehow that they are eligible. And if they can't, providers might even have to charge them for this meal, which they worry could result in fewer kids, getting these meals.
Starting next year, all 23 California State University campuses will be required to offer ethnic studies classes, and undergraduate students will have to take at least one of those classes to earn their degree under a bill signed into law on Monday by Governor Gavin Newsom. With more on the Assembly bill, here's higher education reporter Adolfo Guzman Lopez.
Well, if you attend one of Cal State's 23 campuses, you're going to have to take a 3-unit ethnic studies course to earn your bachelor's degree. That's going to start with the graduating class of 2025. Governor Newsom signed the requirement into law yesterday. After a strong social media campaign from the Cal State Faculty Union, this law overrides a requirement passed last month by Cal State administrators, and it keeps the classes more tightly focused on Black, Latino, Asian, and Native American studies, and it gives ethnic studies faculty an important role in creating the requirement. What's the impact of all this going to be? Well, over 100,000 people earn their undergraduate degrees from Cal State each year. The requirement is meant to teach them about systemic racism and how to dismantle it.
Next, our newsroom has received many questions about what childcare and preschool will look like this fall. Our Mariana Dale has been talking to early education providers about their outlook.
So just to give you some context, last year there were almost 22,000 kids enrolled in LAUSD's early childhood programs, and that includes preschool and transitional kindergarten. And a lot of early learning is focused on social skills, figuring out how to handle emotions and understanding routines, and all of that helps kids be successful in school later. And this has without a doubt gotten harder without in-person instruction. And I talked to an early education center principal today, and she says what they've learned is that activities that incorporate movement really engage kids, even if they're like on Zoom, for example. So they could be clapping while they're counting or dancing. One challenge that remains is that the benefits of those engaging lessons are lost when a student or staff member's internet connection drops out right in the middle of the lesson.
And finally, we're happy to announce that LAist is now on Alexa-enabled smart speakers. In this interactive voice experience, we'll give you the 5 latest headlines from around LAist and KPCC. For each, you can tell Alexa whether or not you want to hear more. It's easy and fun, and a great way to get a quick hit of the latest news. To enable it on your device, just go to laist.com/Alexa. Thanks for listening to today's LA Report. Our reporting is made possible by listeners like you. Please donate today at lais.com/donate to keep local news strong during this uncertain time. That's laist.com/donate. We'll have another report for you tomorrow. Until then, be safe. I'm Leo Duran. The LA Report is produced Monday through Friday. Subscribe using your favorite podcast app or smart speaker. And for the most up-to-date news around the clock, be sure to check in at laist.com/latest. That's laist.com/latest.